John chapter number 1, and God being my helper, I believe I'll be in this chapter this morning and tonight, and I hope that I can be a blessing. The Lord has given us a thought here. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And the purpose of this, I want you to look at this right here. I don't know what some people do with this text that don't believe that God wants to save all of mankind. What do you do with a text like this? The Bible said that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You say, preacher, why don't God send me more light? I'll tell you why, because you ain't acted on the light He's already sent you. Somebody help me this morning. People going to die lost without God, because they won't act on the light that God has already sent them. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to pray this morning, and I want to bring a message, and I don't know exactly what to title the message, but anyway, this morning I want to look at the thought in the beginning, but also the thought in the end. In the beginning, what's important is God. The Bible starts off with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, in your text, it didn't say God. It said was the Word. Same thing. If you study it out, same thing. In the beginning, God. You know what's going to be important in the end? God. In the end, God. You say, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Well, stay with me for about 30 minutes and let me show you how the Lord spoke to my heart in this text. Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, I want to thank You today for these that have gathered. I want to thank You, Lord, for those that would be here had they not been providentially hindered. I pray, dear Father, today that You'll bless our hearts together. Lord, we realize more and more that the messages are going out. And Lord, there are people in other places that are hearing them. People in other places that are hearing, Lord, the gospel message that goes out. And Lord, we just pray today that You'll clothe us in our calling. Help us, our Father, today. Because, Lord, truly, we're needy people. And Lord, if we're going to live for You in this day of wickedness, in this day, our Father, of complacency, in this day of lukewarmness, oh God, we're going to need Your help. And I pray, Lord, today You speak to the heart of that individual that's lost. And Lord, us that are saved, I pray, dear God, You'd warm our hearts today around the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, God. In the end, God. If you'll come back tonight, we'll be in the chapter again. I want to say this morning. If you don't get those words right and you don't get that truth right in your heart, you're going to have trouble with the rest of the Bible. You're going to have trouble. Listen, I'm like Brother John in Sunday school this morning. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But I'll tell you this, I know that in the beginning, God. I know that God is the one that spoke the world into existence. I know that God is the one that reached down in the dust of the earth and made a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man, the Word of God said, became a living soul. And when you think about it, beloved, Listen, the Bible said that without Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sin. So he breathed on me the first time in creation. Then he breathed on me again, maybe one of his children, amen. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and he breathed into my spirit the breath of life that I could have eternal life. In the beginning, God. Let me just say, in starting the message off today, I can't pronounce these names probably exactly right, but there's a man, he's a philosopher. And you know how philosophers are, they're like preachers. They had philosopher buddies. Preachers got preacher buddies. Near the end of his life, Jean-Paul Sartre told Pierre Victor, he said, I do not feel that I am the product of chance, a speck of dust in the universe. He said, but someone who was expected, prepared, prefigured. In short, he said, a being whom only a creator could put here. And this idea of a creating hand refers to God. Now, this was a philosopher that came up with this. Well, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Job. Listen to what his philosopher buddy said. His philosopher buddy, a protested fellow, a philosopher and longtime companion, Simone de Beauvoir, he said, how should one explain the senile act of a turncoat? In other words, it didn't fit with his way of thinking that it was the God of heaven that put him here for a purpose, that made us, and that in him we live and move and have our being. That's what the Word of God said. He said, preacher, I'm lost. I still say in him you live and move and have your being. I think often of my dad. I guess you could say my father. But there's just something to me. I guess I never did say father, but I said dad. I mean, we were close. And I can think of times when I would hear my dad on a construction site or in the place where you buy building materials. I can hear him with my ears and my mind witnessing to somebody. And he would tell them this, Brother David. He would say, the breath that you have in your body belongs to you. He said, the next one belongs to God. He can give it to you or he can take it away from you. I tell you, beloved, that just gets people to thinking a little bit, amen, about time, Brother John, and the shortness of time and the brevity of life. Life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it vanishes away. In the beginning, God, let me just give you three things real quickly. What's the Word that was made flesh? Beloved, in the beginning, it was the Word that was made flesh. The Bible said in verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father. For the law was given by Moses in verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I don't know why you want to just go on in the Bible and go on in the things of God and go on and preach a sermon after sermon and Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. I tell you why. That's how God started it, and that's how God wants us to finish it. Amen. He wants us to stay with the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Beloved, there we're living in a world that wants to believe there are no absolutes. But I tell you, what God said is wrong is absolutely wrong. And what God said is right is absolutely right. And beloved, the absolute truth is that unless a man's born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Beloved friend, it was the Word that was made flesh in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, it was the world that the Word made. You see, God said here, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I believe that. Hebrews 11 said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God,
so that the things which are seen were made of things. The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God started with nothing except His Word. And He created the heavens and the earth, beloved, and the universe that we live in. And God created a man. And God, beloved, listen, wants us to understand that it's all because of Him in the beginning. In the beginning, if you don't get the beginning right, you have no hope of getting the end right. In the beginning, God. They said in 1993, I believe there was only about 9% of the American people that believed in just total evolution. There was about, I think, 47%, if I remember the figures right, 47% believed in creation the way the Bible teaches it in 93. And about 9% believed in evolution the way it's been taught in our schools and in our colleges, that you and I came from a monkey. I can't even say that without thinking about B.R. Lakin's grandson. And B.R. Lakin had a grandson come in from school, and he said that he told his grandfather, he said, my professor said it was an absolute impossibility for someone to be born of a virgin. And he said, you go back and tell them what an absolute impossibility is. He said, this is what an absolute impossibility is. He said, that's when something got into nothing and it formed a blob and it washed up on the shore and it grew some legs. Amen. And it got hair on it. And one day it stood upright. And then one day it climbed up in a tree and was swinging by his tail. And he said his tail broke off. He come down out of the tree, walked across the street, became a professor in our colleges, bought him a suit of clothes. He said, that's what an absolute impossibility is. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it takes more faith to believe a lie and be damned than it does to believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Tristan, you better go with Mama or you're going to be in bad trouble. Go. Go, buddy. Amen. I can see him now sticking out from under Mama's arm. Pray, people, pray. Amen. Amen. Get a prayer meeting started. Amen. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God was the Word. It was the Word that was made flesh. It was the world that the Word made. But I want to give you something this morning. In the beginning, God. And I don't know why my little old finite mind doesn't think of things long before now. But I want to give you this. It was in the beginning there was the wonder that the Word gives. How many can remember the wonder when God saved you? The joy of it all. You can just remember how wonderful it was to know Him and how wonderful it was to know you were forgiven. But I begin to get a thought on my heart, Brother Gale. What must it have been like for Adam and Eve before the fall in the garden? What must it have been like? What must the wonder have been like to walk with God in the cool of the day? What must it have been like in innocence, never having sinned? What must it have been like, Brother Steve? Don't anybody let your mind wander where it don't need to wander, but just go back in a garden of innocence. There's a man and a woman. God made the woman beautiful. For people who can't tell the difference in a man and a woman, I feel sorry for you. Woman pretty, man ugly. It's as simple as that. Say amen. She was beautiful. She was gorgeous. What would it have been like for them just to lay under the trees at night and look up at the stars? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. God made the stars before He made them. Amen. And listen, the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Our beloved, day unto day under His speech, the Word of God said that the creation is up there to speak to the hearts of mankind. Well, don't you know they can hear the creation clearly? Don't you know they could hear the Creator clearly? Amen. What must it have been like, the wonder of it all? I wonder sometimes if they didn't go through the garden sometimes just shaking their head like you and I will when we get to heaven. Maybe just shaking our heads saying, glory to God. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? That preacher tried to tell me all them years how wonderful heaven is, and he didn't tell me the half. of what I've got to look forward to. I believe that. I believe we could try and try and try for eternity, and we could never tell you how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful it must be to bow at the feet of God's darling Lamb and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me." The wonder of it all. A songwriter said years ago, the wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, He died for my sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need revival when we get over the wonder. When we get to thinking we deserve heaven, when we get to thinking we deserve to have a Bible in our lap, when we get to thinking we deserve access to the throne of God, when we get to thinking, beloved, we deserve eternal life, we need revival. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. God has been so good to us. In the beginning, man, what must it have been like? I got to thinking, and I don't have any Bible for it. I have no idea. But how long did Adam and Eve walk with God before old Slewfoot come along? If I know old Slewfoot, it wasn't too long. How many knows, beloved, you get to walking with God real good, and old Slewfoot ain't going to wait too long. Say amen. He's going to come along and try to break that up. Amen. Beloved, listen, there's one thing He does not want for you and I. He does not want us fellowshipping with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He hates us and He hates Him. And He doesn't want us fellowshipping with Him. In the beginning, God, the wonder, the wonder. You wonder if they didn't sit maybe by the river and their feet dangle in the water. Listen, not worried about an alligator. Somebody say amen. You say, well, wasn't they no gators? Yeah, but they wasn't hungry for a man's feet.
Amen.
They weren't under a curse. Somebody help me this morning. Wasn't there any lions? Oh, yeah, but they wasn't hungry for a man. They wasn't under a curse. See, we're going back to that place where the curse is lifted and the lion can lay down beside of the lamb. And the child can play on the hole of an asp. Maybe they sat there and maybe the snakes were beautiful. I happen to believe they were. Why would Slewfoot enter into something that wasn't beautiful? Say amen. You understand, they weren't crawling on their belly till after the curse. Can you just see something like that coming through? Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you the wonder of it all. In the beginning, God. There was His Word that was made flesh. There was a world that His Word made. And then there was the wonder of it all. Think about that this morning. Listen. Adam and Eve, I believe with all of my heart, they had a purpose in being here, and God let them know. Let me give you this morning. I'm going now. We got in the beginning, God, but what about in the end, God? You know something, you and I, all of us, one day are going to breathe our last breath one way or another. Either, I'm talking about our last breath here, on earth, in this body, we're going to die, or we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A preacher was preaching on the second coming of the Lord. A little boy had only been saved 2 or 3 weeks, and the preacher got happy while he was preaching, and he said, "How many of you wants to go?" And everybody was praising the Lord, and they all raised their hand. That little boy just sat there like this. After church, preacher said to the little boy, he said, "Son, I thought you got saved a few weeks ago." He said, "I did." He said, "Well, I noticed when I said how many wants to go, everybody in the church raised their hand except you." He said, "Can you help me understand that?" He said, "Oh, yeah, preacher." He said, "I thought you was getting up a load for tonight." Everybody wants to go, but nobody wants to go tonight. Nobody wants to go today. But honey, we don't get to call that shot. Brother Jack loved this church and served this church. And I'll guarantee you, if Brother Jack had his way, he'd have wanted to see 80 brother.
He'd have wanted to see another 10 years loving the people at Bible Way and preaching to them. Brother Jack didn't get to call that shot. You don't get to call that shot. I don't get to call that shot. But in the end, God, that's what's really going to make. You say, well, where did you get that in the text? Let me just show you. There's two things here in the end that's really going to matter. There's a phrase that says, received him. To as many as received him. Received him. Remember that. Let that phrase sink in. Received him. In the end, God, did we receive him. And the second phrase is, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. One word difference, the word not. Received him not. You say, preacher, I don't know what the end. I'm going to tell you something. Every time we go by a casket, right there lays the body. Their soul and their spirit's already gone. We don't believe in soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But every time we walk by that casket, right there's a body that represents someone that either received him or received him not. They may not have known it in the beginning of their life, but now they know. In the beginning, God, and in the end, God. That's what's really going to make the difference. You say, are you going to heaven? I sure am. I've got deacons that I love dearly, but I'm not going to heaven because of a deacon. I've got a wife that I love dearly, but I'm not going to heaven because of my wife. I've got children that I love dearly. I've got grandchildren that I love dearly. I've got friends that I love dearly, but I'm not going to heaven because of any of them. I'm going to heaven because God so loved Rick that he gave his only begotten son. And one day Rick believed on him and received him as his personal Savior. That's why when Miss Eve comes by that box, all that's there is a carcass. All that's there is a body. My soul and my spirit will be with God who gave it to me. Because there was not a knot at the end of my way. It was received him. See, we're getting confused today. We've heard a lot of preaching. Sometimes people, they mean well, but beloved, in the end, receive him, heaven. Now let me just say this. It's too late to receive him after you die. But if you have received him, and by the way, listen to me carefully. It's not too late to pray for the family. It's not too late to pray for the friends. But it's too late to pray for that person. Beloved, our prayers ain't going to change where that person went. That person will either be in the presence of God or that person will be in the region of the damned. What makes the difference? God. In the beginning, God made the difference. In the end, it will be God that makes the difference. Let me give you several things as I thought about this. In the end, God. Let's look first of all at the received him not. Number one, the lost, they failed to recognize his presence. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Brother Steve, they failed to recognize that he was there. You say, preacher, you mean God's in the world? He sure is. You can't go anywhere that God ain't. Amen. That might not be good preaching, but it's the truth. Amen. I should say it is good preaching. It might not be good English. But you can't go anywhere where God ain't. He's already there. You're not going anywhere where God ain't. He's already there. The psalmist said, if I made my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Beloved, listen. God, in the end, we see here the lost. They failed to recognize his presence. Look at verse 11. He came unto his own. That's talking about the Jew. And beloved, listen to me. The Jewish people, they failed to recognize that the Savior of the world was walking among them, and that it was the Savior of the world that they hung on an old rugged cross. Beloved, they failed to recognize him. Why do people die lost? Number one, they failed to recognize his presence. Number two, the lost failed to recognize his purpose. Look at verse 11 again.
The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Bible said in verse 10, and the world knew him not. Can I just say this to you? God put us here for a purpose. You know what God wants for you and what God wants for me? He wants us to know him. Do you understand that if you ever get to know him, you'll love him? And do you understand if you ever get to loving him, you'll serve him? And if you ever get to serving him, you'll look forward to the day when you'll meet him. In the end, God, that's what's going to make the difference, beloved. In the end, God. They received him not. The lost failed to recognize his presence. They failed to recognize his purpose. But thirdly, they failed to recognize his power. You see, they didn't recognize his power in creation. That's why you go down there to school. Somebody help me. These people too smart for God. Why, it couldn't have happened like the book of Genesis said. There must have been two blobs of something that banged together XXXXX millions of years ago or billions of years ago. Somebody help me. I tell you, there's something banging together, but it's between somebody's ears. And I don't believe it's brains. Say amen. You say, preacher, are you making fun of people? No. I tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to tell you, beloved, it's harder to believe a lie and be damned than it is to believe the truth and be set free. In the beginning, God. In the end, God. They failed to recognize his power. They failed to recognize his power in creation, that the world was made by him. Listen to me. If you would just take, and I've never done it, but I've been around sisters that are nurses and daughters that are in the medical field, and you have to study something called anatomy. If you would just realize what it takes to make these feet go like this, to make this heart go like this, to make sure that blood goes from here all the way to my toes and all the way back to my heart, and to make sure there's enough oxygen in my blood, and to make sure, beloved, that my brain is working, and to make sure, listen, we are a miracle in and of ourselves. Heather had her little baby last week, and every little child. See, I didn't realize that when my first two were born. I was lost. I didn't recognize his power in creation. Say amen. I just went out there, and I bought me some cigars, and I walked around in the hallway, and I was like a little bit nervous because I didn't know nothing about none of this. And I thought that's what a dad was supposed to do. But then something happened. I got born again. I got saved by the grace of God. And them second two babies was born. I wanted to be right there with my wife because she needed somebody to aggravate her, take her mind off of the pain. I remember when the third one was being born, I looked at her and I said, honey, I want to ask you something. She said, what? I said, will you marry me? She said, I'm going to kill you. And I can remember that Charity coming out. I never looked at fingers like I did that day. I never looked at hands and feet and legs. I'd been far enough down the road to realize that all the babies aren't born healthy. Some of them are missing some things. And I begin to thank God and rejoice in the goodness of God. I remember Brother David Ring said one time, he was born with cerebral palsy. He said, you know, we always say, well, what are you going to have? And the people say, it don't matter as long as it's healthy, they would say. He said, what if it's not? You're going to give it back. God trusts some people with an unhealthy baby. My Uncle Bill was raised till he's 18 years old, still being diapered and fed like a baby when he died at 18 years of age. But I'll tell you, my grandmother, my grandfather, and my dad and his brothers and sisters did not love him one ounce less than they loved any of the rest of the kids. I'm telling you, in the end, God, they didn't recognize his power in creation, that the world was made by him. But they did not recognize his power in conversion. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The lost do not recognize. Listen, they'll sit there and listen to the devil. You can't change. You can't change. You can't change. You know what I want to say? Amen. 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 You can't change. But if you'll come to Jesus, I'll tell you, he can change your life. He can make a new creature out of you in Christ Jesus. I told the men in the prayer meeting out back this morning, I said, this will probably come out of me, and here it comes. I don't want to make more out of one of my grandchildren. I hope it don't come across like that. I love all my grandchildren. Some of them haven't been saved yet. They're too young right now, but I'm praying that they will. But there were some of them old enough for plenty of years before they got saved. And I'm telling you, the lost received him not. They didn't recognize his power in conversion, that God could change their life. Well, yesterday, three of my grandsons worked for my son. They pulled pine trees and cedars out of the field and piled them up over in the edge of the woods, and they worked hard. They sweated like mules. I was on the phone with my son last night, and he said, Dad, he said, I could see a big difference in those boys. Glory to God. Let me just tell you something right now. You get saved by the grace of God, you don't have to run around saying, I'm different, I'm different, I'm different. I'll tell you what will happen. That one that lives inside of you will shine to the outside of you. And, beloved, others will realize something changed in that life. I was with Jordan the other day. I think it was Friday. And Jordan said, Pepaw, he said, there's something I'd like to do next summer. Listen to this, Brother Cole. You might get your toe hung. He said, there's something I'd like to do next summer. Well, as soon as he said that, Brother Preston, I'm thinking maybe Dollywood, or maybe he'd like to go to the coast. Because Christians don't go to the beach, they go to the coast. I began to think about a few things right quick, and I said, what is it, son? He said, Brother C.T.'s having another meeting in Knoxville. He said, I'd like to go one night. Well, glory to God. You know what I told him? I said, son, we got to do some work on that old camper. I got to put me a water pump in it, and I got to fix a leak, two leaks, and I got to put some brakes on it. I said, we'll just do some work on that old camper. And I said, if you want to, me and you'll just go down there and camp out two or three nights. He said, that'd be good. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, no, I'm happy that God can so change a person's life that they're not thinking about the things of this world, but they're thinking about how I can get back and hear the word of God one more time. Amen. Beloved, listen. I believe when a person gets saved, you hear me well right here. You don't have to like it, but I don't believe a person that's saved has to be begged to come to church. I don't believe a person that's saved has to be begged to do the right thing. I don't believe a person that's saved has to be begged to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe they want to. In the end, God, I just say this, Jordan and Aaron, something would have happened to you boys a few months ago. You'd have been laying in one of them boxes. My heart would have absolutely been broke. Somebody help me this morning. You say, preacher, you shouldn't think about it like that. If we don't get to thinking about it like that, we'll never be serious. Not seeing our loved ones saved. But I'm glad now something happened to those boys. I'm glad I could say I remember a time when God dealt with their heart. They said yes to the Lamb of God. A couple more things that I've done. In the end, God, they received him not. That was part of it. But look at this. Then there were some that received him. The Bible said, but as many. I love that but in the Bible, don't you? I just now realized that there's a but between received him not and received him. I'm going to tell you something right now. The best thing that ever happened to a man is when God butts in his life.
We're going down the road doing our own thing, and God busts in. Says, you better get to thinking about that box. You better get to thinking about eternity. You better get to thinking about your children. You better get to thinking about your grandchildren. You better get to thinking about where you're going when you leave this world. The Bible said here, watch this now. There's those that received him not, but then there's those that received him. This is how we'll close out. Who are they, preacher? Those that received him. They're the redeemed. Brother Rose, God just put it on my heart, if you will, if you need help from Brother Ralph, but find the song, Redeemed. That one that says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. I think we'll sing that in the invitation today. Who are those that received him? They're the redeemed. The redeemed are those who believed. The word of God said here, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. Now listen, the word believe in the English language is used lightly sometimes. It's talking about a mental assent to the facts. But the word believe in the word of God is talking about a total dependency. And the Bible said, even to them that believe in his name, that means my belief, my total dependency is in the name that's above every name. There's only one name, my friend, that can save us from sin, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. I'm glad I don't have to pick between saviors. I'm glad I don't have to pick door number one or door number two or door number three. I'm glad there's one that stood up one day and said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he go in and out and find green pasture. I'm glad there's one that said, I am the water of life. One that said, I am the resurrection and the life. One that said, I am the bread of life. One that said, I am the true vine. One that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The redeemed are those who believed. Secondly, the redeemed are those who were born. Look what the Bible said in verse number 13. Which were born not of blood. In other words, Jordan and Aaron aren't going to heaven because of their bloodline. You'd be surprised in America how many people think they're going to heaven because their papa's a preacher. Or because their daddy's a missionary. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. You listen to me carefully right here. I don't mean to split hairs, but there's more to being saved by the grace of God than a decision. We hear decision, decision, decision. I decided, well actually I didn't decide, my wife decides for me what I was going to wear today. But I did decide to put on this morning what my wife gave me last night to put on. You say, why'd you do that? Because I'm the smartest fella you ever seen. And if I tried it my own way, God only knows, I might look like a clown in a three-ring circus standing up here this morning. I am colorblind. But salvation, there's a decision involved. But let me tell you something, beloved. It's more than just waking up one day and saying, I think I'll be a Christian now. You hear me? Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I believe with all my heart there's a deception in the land. There's an entrance into heaven being preached without a new birth, without repentance, without conviction, without conversion. Jordan, I don't say this to embarrass you, son. Do you remember how you were trembling that night? Dear God, he was shaking all over. The Bible didn't say you have to tremble. And the Bible didn't say that. The Bible didn't say you have to cry. The Bible didn't say that. But the Bible did say that you can't come to him except the Father which sent you. Draw him. I'll tell you something the Bible did say too. And I don't say this. I think Jordan received it right. But the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. The Bible did say, the one that's forgiven much loveth much. But Jordan was on a dark path, wasn't you, son? He had been in trouble. It was only getting worse. But God. God bet he did. It's service after service after service. My grandson sat over there and raised his hand and said, "I'm lost. Pray for me." He sent me a text one day and said, "I wanted to go up there to them steps." You say, "Preacher, why was you careful to say it like that?" Because that's what he said. There's people don't even know this is supposed to be called an altar. Let me tell you something. I believe sometimes they're better off not to even know the language of the church. He said, "I wanted to go up there to them steps, Grandpa." He said, "But something would just hold me back." We know who that was, don't we? There are going to be people die, Brother Rose, that knows they're supposed to go up there to them steps. And yet something held them back. Old Slewfoot, the same one that come along in the garden and said, "Hath God said?" Holding people back. Holding them back. Oh, beloved friend, in the end, it's God. In the beginning, it's God. The redeemed are those who believe. The redeemed are those who were born. And then let me give you this. The redeemed are those who behold. The Bible said in verse 14, we beheld his glory. The Bible said in verse number 29, oh, John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan River. By the way, I was looking at this and reading it again this morning. And that little phrase, like a dove, comes up again in John chapter 1. Oh, boy, my heart just flipped over again, Brother Gail, amen. Let me tell you something right now. The redeemed are those who behold. John stepped out on the banks of the Jordan River, and he said, "Look at me!" Is that what he said? I'm just trying to see if anybody's awake. Is that what John said? You know what I say about preachers that get in pulpits all across America and say, "Look at me. Gag a maggot off a gut wagon." We're supposed to be getting in that pulpit and saying, "Look at Jesus. Look to Jesus." John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Beloved, let me tell you something right now. No wonder the writer of the book of Hebrews, most believe it was the Apostle Paul. I know it was the Holy Ghost. Amen. All scripture is given by God. I know that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I know that the book of Hebrews, beloved, is there because God wants it to be there. But the writer in the book of Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus. Whew, glory to God, I just now realize how this fits. The author and the finisher of our faith. In the beginning, God. In the end, God. That's what's really going to make the difference. Amen. It's not going to make any difference if you drove a Volkswagen in the beginning and you drive a Cadillac in the end. That ain't going to make any difference. Ain't going to make any difference if you lived in a one-room shack in the beginning, and you live in a $300,000 home. Now, that's not going to make any difference in the end. What's going to make a difference is God. The God that said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Do you consider yourself a man or a woman sent from God? Beloved friend, in the beginning, God. In the end, God. That's what's going to make the difference. That's the one. It has my soul in his hand. That's the reason I can stand and say, when I breathe my last breath here, you say, that's arrogant. No, it's not arrogant. It's just believing the babble. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I believe the Bible. I believe God.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the time that we've had together around John chapter 1. Lord, as we sing the song and the invitation, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. There may be somebody here lost, and maybe they could sing with us and just sing how I'd love to proclaim it. Lord, surely this morning, there's somebody here that needs Jesus. Lord, may they switch sides this morning. May they switch from the side where the Bible said received him not to the side where the Bible said received him. From the side that's full of guilt and shame and headed to hell to the side that's experienced God's forgiveness and mercy and headed for heaven. I pray, God, that the people of God this morning would sing this song to the top of their voice. God, that we would honor you this morning in this invitation.